welcome to Hillcrest Congregational Church, United Church of Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. This is the sixth Sunday of Easter, and we're starting to come to the close of the Easter season. Next Sunday, we'll be remembering Jesus' ascension, and the Sunday after that, Pentecost. We continue with our worship theme, The Heart of the Matter, and today's focus is kept in our hearts. We will hear the news of community and then prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning, I'm Neil Minietta, your liturgist for our May 17th worship service. We have a couple of announcements. I hope you'll join the virtual Zoom fellowship hour today at 11:30 a.m. using your telephone, computer, tablet, or smartphone. Last week was a special Mother's Day as we had up to 27 participants joining in the conversation. Needless to say, it was a lively conversation. Please refer to Reverend Fred's Saturday email for detailed instructions on how to join the conversation today. All are invited to Adult Ed next Wednesday, May 20th at 4 p.m. We continue to explore the Universal Christ through videos by Franciscan priest and spiritual teacher Richard Rohr, which we watch together, then discuss. Information about how to join through Zoom will come early next week from Reverend Fred. If you have not been receiving Hillcrest e-blasts or have any particular questions about adult ed, please contact Reverend Fred. Sunday school will take place again this Sunday afternoon. If your child hasn't yet participated and is interested, contact Allison Kukli-Silva for further information. Zoom links are emailed to families weekly. As you know, the physical church office needs to remain closed. Please see the website or the written news of the community for information on how to contact office manager Carolyn Mueller-Reese, Allison Kukli-Silva, or Reverend Fred. And now, let us quiet ourselves and prepare for worship.
Could be, should be, the heart of the matter that is kept in our hearts. Our readings today give us a strong answer. love. And our lessons also give us another answer, very much related to love. To quote from our first lesson, "Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord." To sanctify something is to make it holy, keep it holy. Holiness resides within each one of us. It calls us to see that same holiness in others and to reach out with love for ourselves, for others, for the world. There's a wideness in God's mercy for sure, and so let us sing.
We center our hearts into one and begin. Breathing slowly, gently place your hand on your heart in rhythm to your heartbeat. Holy living God, heartbeat of creation, help us to take this time together to center in you. You made us and give us life. You are with us every moment. In every breath, in every step, God assures us. Be still, O heart. You're not alone. Your beat is shared with me. Come now and calmly center here, for you are mine, secure and free. Now, please take a slow breath. Relax your shoulders. Let go of any tension you are carrying and slowly breathe out. Repeat. Take a slow breath. Relax your shoulders. Let go of any tension you are carrying and slowly breathe out. If you have a stone, pick it up now and let touching its surface remind us of the closeness of God's touch within, between, and around us. Such love is close to us. It is the heart of God who invites us to release our worries into the love and care that is God. Let us pray. Gracious God, into your care, we offer our worries, our fears, and strife. We turn to you and know you are there. Light, love, and life. Amen.
As we enter into a time of the prayers of the people, we thank you, O God, for the whole of your creation and for each of our lives and for our life together. We thank you for your word, your creative impulse made flesh in Jesus Christ, who calls us to live and shows us the way to life and love. And we pray for all who are sick and recovering from illness and injury. O God, be with Ariana and Haida Marie and all we name. For all who are grieving and feeling loss of any kind, O God, be with Clarita and all we name. And in such a time as this, when we are physically distant from so many, we call out the names of those we miss and care about, and thank you for those who care for us. And we pray for all those whose names we don't know, for all who are feeling loss and feeling alone and isolated and struggling in any way through this period. For all healthcare and frontline and essential workers. For all who give of themselves to support others and to keep themselves and others safe. And as we sanctify in our hearts that love that calls us to life and shows us the way, I ask you, O God, that your Holy Spirit be with us and connect us to each other and to you as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Doing the right thing is something we try hard to do. Sometimes doing the right thing is difficult and means that we make sacrifices to make sure we don't harm others. We do it because love is the commandment we live by. In this excerpt from an early church letter, we hear the apostle encourage the people to always be ready to share from their hearts about the source of hope that is in them, Jesus Christ. Our first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18a. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteousness, in order to bring you to God.
Usually I say here, the gospel reading for this Sunday is from... Today we don't have a gospel reading in the sense that this reading is not from the gospel of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. Rather, it is gospel because it tells us the good news of Jesus Christ as lived out with others. Here, the great chapter of love from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. God bless our hearing of the word.
In In today's scriptures, we talk a lot about love. The reading from Corinthians is a really famous one. A lot of people really like it. It's one of my favorites, too. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or rude. I'd like you to think about someone you love. Maybe it's a parent or a sibling. What is love to you? What is love not? Do you think love is patient or kind? Or would you describe love as something else? You can pause the video and talk to a friend or family member about it, and we can continue the discussion in Sunday school. See you all there.
I'm sure I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I like it. And it ties in with our readings, with the whole Easter season theme, heart of the matter, and with today's focus, kept in our hearts. It was Maundy Thursday, the Thursday of Holy Week. I think it's 2011 was the year, something like that. I was driving home from Hillcrest, and I had the talk radio on. And I was still living in Marin at the time, so lots of time was going by as I was driving and listening. Anybody remember Gene Burns on KGO 810 AM? This is Gene Burns with the Gene Burns Program. And God bless him. He was doing a segment on Maundy Thursday. There wasn't much to it. He didn't know a whole lot about it. People were calling in about what the day did or didn't mean to them, or what they or their churches were or weren't doing for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. And then it came up. What does Maundy Thursday mean? What does Maundy mean? Well, by this time, I couldn't help myself anymore. I was driving west on Route 4, and I pulled over, as I recall, somewhere about where you turn off to Crockett. I called the number, I got patched right through, and there I was. This is Fred calling from the East Bay, and he's going to tell us what Maundy means. And so I did. And that was about that. He thanked me for my answer and went on talking, and he or some producer cut me off. Okay, so I started driving again. And he kept talking and took another call and another call. And then someone came on saying they didn't understand why this topic at all and why all this talk about this church holiday anyway and what does it matter? And then he said, and here's where I almost drove off the road and caused an accident. And then Gene Burns responded to the caller. Well, it's like Fred said, it's all about love. I just love that. It's like Fred said, it's all about love. I'm like, can anybody record that? Can that just be memorialized, like on some display at the Smithsonian Institute or at the Museum of Television and Radio in New York? Well, it's like Fred said, it's all about love. Of course, it has nothing to do with me. It's like Jesus said, like Jesus commanded, no less. And like Paul picked up on in this beautiful, wonderful, poetic, mystical, and practical prose poem. Maundy, as in Maundy Thursday, means commandment. The maund part of Maundy is the Old English way of saying the manned part of commandment. So Maundy Thursday is Commandment Thursday, as in Jesus' words. This is the command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're going to sing that commandment shortly in our middle hymn. That's the command, the commandment that Jesus gives to those who would follow. Love one another as I have loved you. Okay, but how? How do you do that? That's what Paul's great chapter on love is all about. And think about this. When Paul wrote this, I mean, you'd think that Christianity and churches and things like that had been around for generations with all their councils and committees and bylaws and votes and all the good and not always so good that comes with all that, and that Paul was reacting to all of it. And I suppose he was to a degree, but amazingly, this letter is written, we think, way before even any of our gospels themselves had been set down. He's writing a letter to one particular gathering of Christians just 2 decades after Jesus' death, way, way, way before there ever was a church building or a formally incorporated church body or anything like that. Paul is setting the blueprint or a guideline. What does love one another look like? It's not Robert's Rules of Order for running a meeting. It's Paul's, or better, Jesus's or God's, rules of community and cooperation and mutual growth for how to live life together as church and how to live in general based on Jesus's great commandment to love one another. And it is great. In light of our Easter theme, Heart of the Matter, and our focus today, Kept in Our Hearts, I want to spend just a moment on the heart of this passage, right there in the middle. And I hesitate almost to say even what I'm going to say, because like a great song or a great painting or a great poem or a great sunset, to try to talk about this great chapter on love almost seems to risk cheapening it. So I really urge you, following this reflection or following the whole service, go back to the reading and listen to it again. Even take screenshots of the words or find it online or read it in your Bible at home. 1 Corinthians 13. Read it. Read it out loud. Take it into your heart. Make it a part of you. Now, just a word or two about the heart of the matter from the heart of this passage, right around verse 6. It, that is love. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. To wrong someone, to do wrong to another, is to devalue our living and loving and life-giving God. And the word used here couldn't be stronger. It goes back to Moses and the prophets who use it repeatedly, as does Jesus, as does Paul. The word for wrongdoing is injustice or unrighteousness. It's all the same word. God calls us to act justly towards others, to treat others righteously as we ought to be treated. We're all created in the image of our righteous, just God. Love does not rejoice in injustice, unrighteousness. Of course it doesn't. How could it? So I urge you, call anyone on it. Call yourself on it if and when they or you start down any road that leads to the unjust, unrighteous treatment of someone else or of you. There's nothing God-blessed about that. And there's everything God blessed about countering such ways of death and devaluing what and who God has created. Now, we live in a day and age when media outlets and political parties are peddling so much that is not truth. And what does our reading say? What in this great chapter on love is the opposite of injustice or unrighteousness or wrongdoing? Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Aha! Anything and everything we can do as individuals and as church together to value and promote truth about ourselves, about our world, about our God of love and life, that is righteous. That is countering harmful behavior that devalues others and devalues life. Truth is life-giving. Just last week, we heard it in the Gospel of John, Jesus saying, I am the way, I am truth, I am life. Truth, whether it's what we would consider good news or bad news or indifferent, you can deal with it. And it can and does lead to life and life-giving ways when dealt with. And God knows it. And Jesus and Paul and the early Christians do too. For too many in our world, they don't know it or choose not to know it. They and we need to be taught and reminded and shown. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Injustice, unrighteousness, love rejoices in truth. Far scarier and threatening, arguably, than any pandemic is dismissal of the truth, of the value of truth. And we can see over and over again in our nation's history and in our nation today how turning our backs on truth, sweeping the truth under the carpet, ignoring the truth, working proactively to cover up the truth, etc., leads to and builds on injustice for some or for all of us. It is the way of death and of devaluing what and who God has created. Jesus in his commandment and Paul in this extraordinary chapter call us to a love that stands against wrongdoing and injustice. Anything that takes away from the life of another and that tolerates deceit, untruth, alternative truth. Because that always leads to and reinforces wrongdoing and injustice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father, to God, to the ways of God, to the way that God creates us and calls us to be, except through truth and the ways that make for life. Everything else is a denial of God and a denial of the divinity and the humanity in others and in ourselves. In our first lesson, from the first letter of the Apostle Peter, we heard Neil read, "Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord." Because of the love, the life, the way we know in Jesus Christ, we do not fear as they fear. Those who do so much to deny truth and deny justice and care and dignity for others. That's the way of death. What is in your hearts, our hearts, what is the heart of the matter is love. God is love. There is no reason to fear like they fear, and every reason to act on the love we know through Jesus Christ for the sake of others, for the whole of creation, and for our own selves. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. And let all of God's lovers say now, Amen.
Jesus, a new commandment has given us, that we should love each other, just as our God loves us. Jesus, a new commandment has given us, that we should love each other, just as our God loves us. The clear sign of all true Christians is the way they love each other. Jesus, a new commandment has given us, that we should love each other, just as our God loves us. Jesus, a new commandment has given us, that we should love each other, just as our God loves us. Those who do not love their neighbors do not truly love their Savior. Jesus, a new commandment has given us, that we should love each other, just as our God loves us. Jesus, a new commandment has given us, that we should love each other, just as our God loves us. In true charity and loving, God is present here among us. A clear sign of all true Christians is the way they love each other.
As we participate in the shared experience at separate times, in separate spaces, together we can have an impact on our community and our world. We can bring hope and love to others through sharing our financial resources. It's in this spirit that we offer our gifts, Please continue to give by sending in pledges or offering through the mail or giving online at hillcrestucc.org. Our gifts support and grow our vital ministries to care for each other, our community, and the world. And please remember to take care of yourselves and each other. We are church together. We give together as we support one another and support our ministries. Let us pray. Creator God, draw close to our hearts, especially when we feel overwhelmed or afraid. Remind us that it is your sustaining love that will get us and all people through this difficult time. Bless our gifts that they may help others. Know that they are held in your loving light. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Would you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. They are here to help each other. Go the mile and bear the load.
I will hold the Christ light for you in the shadow of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow, till we've seen this journey through.
And now, as we receive the blessing, let us keep this part of our reading with us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. May God's love go with you and emanate from you and come back to you in all you do. Amen. And now, as we pass the peace of Christ one with another across distance, I invite you to stretch out your arms, touch and clasp a hand of one close to you if you're in a household with others now. Wherever you are, and if alone or with others, imagine your arms and feel your love-sanctifying heart expand out to our Hillcrest family, to all you love and care for, to all the world. And say with me, the peace of Christ be with you. And respond, and also with you. Amen. Our service has ended. We will gather in real time at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, May 17th, for a special fellowship time on our Zoom platform. The information to join has been circulated. If you haven't got it, or have questions or concerns about joining, please email me at revfred.hillcrest@att.net. revfred.hillcrest@att.net. Go in peace, stay home in peace, shelter in peace, and share God's peace. Hope to see you soon. Amen.
I wandered so aimless, a life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man I wandered along. Worries and fears I claim for my own. And like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light, I saw the light.